Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone out this morning, and we hope, trust, and pray you've come with joy in your hearts because God has blessed us again, mercifully and gracefully. And we have so many things to complain about. We have so many things, as folks say, to mumble and grumble about, but that is definitely the wrong attitude. We have to sometimes learn to stop and count our blessings, because I promise you they outweigh those things that we complain about. So if you complain about something, if you grumble about something, stop and learn to count your blessings. Because God is a great God and a good God, and He blesses us when none of us deserve it. Subject title, Away from the Manger. Now, some of you look at that and say, well, Brother Parker, you made a typo, didn't you? I thought it was Way in the Manger, right? Ain't that what you hear this time of year, that song, Way in the Manger? That's what you normally hear, right? But we're going to look at this from a different angle. We're going to look at this from the fact of when folks think about this time of year, and there's nothing wrong with it. We know a lot of traditions going on. We're going to look at a brief history of this time of year, but we're going to look at a bigger problem that I see, and I want us to learn from it this time of year. We're going to look at a problem that the vast majority of our world has, because it never gets away from the manger. The mindset never gets away from a baby Jesus. It's so easy to love babies. I love babies. I love kids. I love babies. I like working around them each and every day, and it's so great. It's so easy to accept the baby. They're so innocent, aren't they? You know, I know sometimes the care for them, the everyday, every minute care for them can wear you out, but I don't know too many folks who don't love a baby. I don't know too many folks who don't accept a baby's smile. And, you know, me just, myself and my wife just creeping over in the grandparenthood. We love it. We hadn't seen it too much. We can't experience it day to day. Yeah, it's coming. Lord's willing when they get this way. But, oh my goodness, you get to spoil them and send them back home. That's great. You get to do all the good stuff and let them raise and pay for everything. That's all. That's what I'm talking about. You know, you're at the point of life where you got, you know, $2 to put together and rub together and get to spend a little bit on them and send them back home. I can't wait, but they grow up. And then raising your own kids, they grow up. And then you go through that part and raising them, and that's great too, but everybody loves a baby. So we're going to see what the problem is. Think about this. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin there. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read just a little bit about it. Very familiar passage. This passage is read in a lot of religious gatherings at this time of year, time and time again. But, you know, I think about it. I was preparing a lesson for this day. You know, we're going to talk about the history of Christmas. Some of you know it. Some of you really don't know it. Some of you just been following tradition. I'm not going to spend too much time on it today, but I'm going to concentrate on the bigger problem as we learn something from it today. Let's begin at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 18. I want to read all the way down through verse number 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. And it reads as such. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for that he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. One of the greatest stories in the world, right? This, the virgin birth of Jesus, is a central truth of Christianity, second only to to the truth of the resurrection, mentioned in several places, but more detailed in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 18. This glorious truth, think about this now, that God left heaven and came to earth. Now, he could have came any way he wanted. He even could have came in the form of Adam, who was formed and made a full-grown man. You know, sometimes I tell this joke. Who is the only man that was ever on this earth without a belly button? It was Adam. There was no need for one because he didn't come from his mother's womb. That's my dad joke. Y'all didn't get it? Y'all didn't laugh? I got to work on that, don't I? But anyway, God came to live as a man. Can you believe that? That's awesome. John 1, 1 through 4 bears witness to that as well. Christ dwelt among us. Christ was the Word. He lived among us. John 1, 10 through 14 tells us the Word dwelt among us. He put on flesh like you and I, and he came into this world as a little baby, and that was great. He came into this world and that. Why did he have to do that? Why did God do that? Why did God put on flesh and come? Born through a woman's womb because he wanted to experience everything just like us. And church, that is beautiful. That is beautiful. That is a great thing, and I'm glad he did. Glad he had no other way to come because that's how God designed him to do, but he had to be both man and God so that he could perform the role of Savior of all of mankind. That's great. But let's look at this. As far as this being a day set aside to worship, no record in Scripture of the celebration of the birth of Christ. We have it recorded. But all through our Scripture, there was no day set aside for this. The first historical record was around 354 A.D. Bishop of Rome, most likely. Well, how in the world did it happen in December? Because when you look at all the historical records, beginning in Luke chapter 1 and 2, more than likely during the time of year, it did not take place in the dead of winter. It took place probably sometime in early fall. So why was December the 21st, the 25th of significance? These were traditionally dates of the worship of Saturnalia or Ishtar or pagan worship. And then you think about even the 12 days of Christmas. They were originally the 12 days of sin or chaos. They were called the 12 days of chaos when folks really went buck wild, so to speak. So how in the world did the worship or the celebration of Christ get tied up? Or Christ Mass, which is where we get the word Christmas from. The whole thing was this time, this period, and even many of these traditions originally had nothing to do with a man called Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. Going on thousands of years before Christ ever stepped foot on this earth, what we read of in Matthew chapter 1. The early church took this philosophy. Well, if we can't beat them, we'll join them. That's what happened. They didn't want to give up these holidays. And mind you, they were coming into the Lord's church out of idolatry. They didn't want to give up these holidays, so the church said, you know what, we're not going to stop these folks from doing something this year. Let's turn it around and try to give it a new meaning. So instead of worshiping Ishtar, instead of worshiping the evergreen tree, which was a symbol of worshiping Nimrod and him continuing to live on forever, and the gifts that were placed under this evergreen tree were initially gifts to Nimrod, let's just say the gifts to the Messiah and call it the celebration of Christ's birth. Many of these traditions continued on. The mistletoe, many other things that we see, the Yule log, all these things were already being done in the pagan world before Christ lived on this earth and died. You may say, well, what is a Christian response to this? Well, in many ways, we recognize pagan holidays all the time. We live on a pagan calendar. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Where do you get the names of your days from? They're named after Roman gods. They are. I don't know about you, but I know when the school system closed down for Christmas break, I ain't going to work. So you can call it what you want to. So we recognize it. But there's nothing wrong with keeping certain traditions as an individual. But some people say, well, why don't you have this big extravaganza as a congregation? Because I have certain individual things that I don't have a right to bind on the congregation as a whole. That's the difference. Because when we begin to make man's traditions commandments, then we begin to transgress God's laws. But we must not bind them on the whole church. Again, there's no scriptural command for this to occur, for us to do it in the name. The individual rights, yes. For example, if I want to have basketball and play a basketball game for Jesus, but I can't make you play a basketball game for Jesus because I like basketball. That's wrong for me to do. I can do it in his name if I want to, but to say the whole church has to do it, that's not right. I don't have a right to do it, and there's no scriptural authority for doing it. Kind of falls in the same mindset. So if you have traditions on your own, just letting you know it's okay to have these traditions on your own. But the history is, a lot of folks don't like to look at it. This is the birth of Christ. Where did it come from? Where did traditions come from? We have no clue. We just follow the traditions. Know the history behind them so it will set you free, because John 8:32 says what? The truth shall make you free. So you have a choice to do them when you know the truth behind them. But as I said before, as I dug a little deeper, that's not the problem, because the vast majority of folks who recognize and decide to celebrate this day, they never move away from the manger. So the bigger problem is they never move away from the manger. What do you mean by that, Brother Parker? I mean, there are so many folks who literally go crazy. What I mean by go crazy, I don't mean go crazy crazy. I'm talking about from what year, what day was it this week? I think November the 27th, 26th, 27th, day after Thanksgiving, 27th this year, to December 26th. They are the most giving, nicest, greatest people, yards lit up, everything, nativity scenes, everywhere. You would think that they are the best Christians in the world to December 26th. All the gifts open, all the presents gone. Where is Jesus in their life on December 31st? Where's Jesus in their life on March the 2nd? Where's Jesus in their life June the 6th? Where's Jesus in their life July the 4th? When they're having drinking parties with their buddies? Where's Jesus in their life on any typical day? They left him in the manger. Because see, he's in the manger in the garage somewhere. He's in the manger in the attic. He's in the manger till it's time for that quote-unquote holiday season of giving. They left him in the manger. He's nice in the manger because he's a baby. And he comes out during the season of giving, and he's on the corner ringing a bell and singing joy to the world, but is not Jesus more than that? See, he never grew up in their life. And that's the problem. It's so easy to love a baby. It's so easy to love the innocent. It's so easy to accept a baby and love him unconditionally. But what about the fact that Jesus grew up? And that's why he came to this earth. He didn't come to this earth to stay in a manger. He came to this earth to be a savior of the world. He came to this earth to die for our sins. He didn't come to this earth for a season of giving. He gave his whole life. He didn't come to this earth for us to give him one day out the year. He came to this earth for us to give him our life. See, too many people are leaving them in the manger. Too many people are leaving them at a particular season. What about us? As a baby, Jesus was helpless. As a man, he has all power in his hands. That's what we see in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. When they were after his life. And his parents, there was a decree that went out by Herod to kill every child under 2 years old. We'll talk about it in my next point, point that I'm making. We are totally dependent on the man now for Jesus for everything. But at that point in time, he was dependent on Mary and Joseph to protect his life. Just like a newborn baby is. They can't do anything for their life. They are totally dependent on their parents or whoever their caretakers are for everything, for them to eat, for their protection. They are at the whims of a dangerous world. They need their parents. The parents are their only protection. Their loved ones are. He was helpless when he came into this world. He didn't stay that way. But as you and I read, now he has all power in his hands. Now we're totally dependent on Jesus for everything. That's the way it should be now for our physical needs, our spiritual needs. See, he got up out the manger. But for many of us, the reason why we're in the state today is because we left him in the manger. The reason why we're stressed and to all get out because he's still in the manger. That's why. We don't believe him for who he says he is. We don't believe him when he says, when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't believe it because he's still in the manger. We don't believe him when he says that there's nothing impossible for me. Because he's still in the manger for some of us. We don't believe it because we left him in the manger, see? His power demands our submission and obedience. That's why many of us leave him in the manger, because we don't want to do what he says. We don't like what his word says. We don't agree with it, and we don't care what he says. Because you don't care what a baby says. But for somebody who claims to have all power and knows more than you do, see, man doesn't like that. We don't agree with that. So what do? We shrink him back down and put him back in the manger. Just like what's going to happen to him in many folks' yards. Not even in many folks' yards, in their household. When this Christmas season is over with, they're going to take down the trees. They're going to take down the little scenes. They're going to take down the decorations and put them back into the next year. How cruel is that to treat the Savior of all mankind? At some point, we got to move away from the manger. At some point, we got to realize that Christ is way more than this. As a baby, Jesus was loved. As a man, he was hated. While it was true that Herod hated Jesus when he was born, as of course we read in Matthew chapter 2, most people love babies. But see, John 15, 18 through 20, Jesus was hated from the time he was on this earth. You may say, why? Why did Herod have a decree? Now notice not only he suffered, because when I think about this, I think about all those folks in the land of Israel at this time period. Because there were some kids who lost their life who were under 2 years of age because of this man named Christ. See, that's how Satan is. He does not care who he destroys as long as God is the ultimate goal. Do you understand that you and I are collateral damage and along the way because his ultimate goal is to hurt God? Do we understand that? Do we understand that we're in the middle of a spiritual war? He doesn't care anything about you and I. Same thing here. Why? Because Jesus was light from birth and exposed darkness from the beginning. As soon as he came on this earth, even before he came on this earth, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, the first prophecy about Christ. From that time on, Satan was bent on destroying. That's the problem. As a baby, Jesus made demands on his family, but as a man, he makes demands on everyone. Babies make demands on you. Your whole schedule changes. Your lifestyle changes. That's just the way it is. You can't do certain things you used to do. Your funds that you used to fund, your finances change. They go upside down. Things change when you have additions to your family. Every parent knows how this feels. But as children grow, they become more independent. As they be growing to adulthood, you know, they get to do more things for themselves, and you get some of that time back. But guess what? Jesus didn't make any demands early on. He made a lot of demands, early on against his family. But now, Jesus calls all men to repent and change their lives. That's the demand he's making on everybody now. No excuses, no getting the way around it. That's what Luke 13:3 says. All men must repent everywhere. No getting around it. It was his family in the beginning. Those who were taking care of him. His parents. Maybe his extended family. But now it's all men. And this last one. Last point I'm going to cover. I'm going to make some points to wrap this up. Jesus was born to die so that we could be born again to live. Let me say it again. That's pretty heavy. Jesus was born to die so that we could be born again to live. Now, I want you to think about why he came to this earth. I want you to think about why he can't stay in a manger. Because his whole mission was not just to be born and stay there. He had to be born to die for our sins. That was his whole mission. The doctrine of Christ is full of paradoxes. That's why the world can't understand it. That's why the world can't understand when we lose our lives, we save it. They have no clue about it. That makes no sense to a world that's about me, myself, and I. That makes no sense of how the world means to live is for Christ and to die is gain. They can't understand Galatians 2:20. It makes no sense to them. But it does if you're alive spiritually. It does if you're living for Christ. It makes all the sense in the world. They can't understand it. This was God's plan before the creation of the world. It was God's plan for him to come in the flesh and be born. But that was not the end of it. It was not God's plan for him to stay in a manger. It was not God's plan for him to stay a baby. It was not God's plan for him, the world, to leave him in there. He came to die for our sins. He didn't live a long life on this world. He didn't live a long life on this earth. Today, those who die to sin can live again in Jesus. Work in understanding. Can't understand it. What will you do? Yes, in closing, be glad that Jesus was born into this world. Joy to the world, as they say. I hadn't done it here, I don't think, but I know I did in New London. I sing Joy to the World in May, June. It doesn't matter. Joy to the world anytime. You don't have, oh, it's not Christmas time. What is he doing? Joy to the world. You sing that anytime of year? You ought to sing it all day, every day. Joy to the world. All those songs, that quote unquote Christmas song, what you waiting till after Thanksgiving for? What you waiting for? Don't do that. Don't get caught up in man's traditions. It's a joy to the world whenever you sing it. But you must do something with Jesus who died on the cross. And that's what a lot of folks don't want to do. Because then it gets hard. You can accept the baby in the manger. He's still cute. Joy to the world. It's great. Oh, the birth of Jesus. That's so beautiful. And it is. I'm not trying to make light of it because it's nothing like it's beautiful. It's beautiful, family, but that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of the story. But they don't want to accept the fact that he's grown up. They don't want to accept the fact that by his stripes we're healed. They don't want to accept the fact that he died on the cross for my sins and yours. They don't want to accept the fact that he rose out of the grave to live forevermore. And they definitely want to accept the fact that he's coming back one day. Because if they accept the fact he got up out of the manger, they got to accept truth. All those facts I just mentioned. But then, they got to do something with the risen Savior. He didn't stay in the manger. He grew up to fulfill God's mission to die for our sins. He grew to demand obedience and repentance. Many, in closing, never move away from the manger because of these facts and more. If they accept that fact, it means they must give up sin and change their lives. If you accept Jesus moved away from the manger and lived the life on this earth and died for our sins is coming back, that means you've got to change some things. That means what he says about sin is sin. That means you know you have to do something with sin before you ever spend eternity with them. So you know what happens then? I don't like what the Bible says about this, so you know I'm going to shrink him back down because he can't be right about this, so I'm going to put him back here, and I'm going to play this little Christian thing come the holidays. I'm going to be the biggest Christian in the world. I'm going to light up my whole block. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have the nicest. I'm going to be the nicest person. I'm going to give away everything. If somebody didn't have some money on that Christmas tree, guess who's going to put some money there? You think Christ is concerned about that? You think that's going to get you into heaven? You think that's going to do it? Well, Brother Parker can be your worst friend today, because that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. That's not the sacrifice he's talking about. Point number two, it means I must die to self and follow him. See, if you accept him getting out the manger, then if you move away from the manger, then it can't be about me anymore. It can't be what I want. It can't be my desire. But see, I got to please me, right? I got to live my life, right? I got to do what makes me happy and what makes me good feel good, right? You can do that if you're still in the manger. But if it's on the cross, you can't. Point number three means it means I can't live worldly anymore. I can't do it. I can do it if he's still in the manger because he ain't grown yet. He don't understand all the pleasures in the world because the baby don't know anything but eat, poop, and sleep. He can stay in the manger because I'm good with that. He don't understand how good and pleasurable sin is. He can stay right there and I can do my thing. But see, He grew up, and he sees the terrible shape the world's in, and he sees me doing it too. He's able to read my thoughts and my mind. Now he knows. But if I leave in the manger, I got time to play. Point number four, it means that I'll be persecuted from time to time. Because now, because I got to follow him, and he says that if I follow him, I shall suffer persecution, so it's going to hurt a little bit. I don't like pain. I'm a punk when it comes to pain. Why I got to suffer, Lord? Because it ain't fun suffering. So since you say I'm going to hurt a little bit, I'm going to put you back in the manger over here, and you just stay an innocent little baby because I ain't with all that suffering. And then this last part, if he stays in the manger, it means you're going to lose your soul. That's what it means. If you leave him in the manger, that means you will never allow him to be your Lord and Savior. That means you'll never hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That means you'll never hear and see the resurrected Savior. You'll never see him on the other side of the grave. That's the danger. So don't fall into this mess. Don't get caught up in this mess. Move away from the manger at some point in time in your life. There's no problem going back to it and thanking God that he came into this world. But don't fall into the trap of the vast majority of the world. I see it all the time in closing, and it almost breaks my heart. I don't say too much. I just look and observe. Where are these people that have this show? That's my point. I have some folks that I know that are close, and boy, they have competitions of who's going to have the biggest Christmas display. What? When did that have to do? What that got to do with getting into heaven? What they got? And then I got folks that I know personally that who need Christmas gifts. Anybody like Christmas gifts? Oh, they can't hate to stand to see that. But Jesus don't get none. And it's supposed to be his birthday. Help me understand that. How many of y'all be happy about that? It's your birthday, but I give your friend all the gifts. Help me understand that logic. I don't understand it. I'm just thinking, maybe it's my little feeble mind. Maybe I'm getting too old. Maybe I'm crossing in that part of my life where I'm not thinking clearly. Somebody help me if it is. I just sit back and think. And even sometimes, when it happens, this special day happens to fall on the Lord's Day, how many places of worship are even open? Whew. Because, see, I know it's the Lord's birthday, but I got to spend time with my family. It's the Lord's birthday. What better time to do it on the Lord's Day? But everybody closes down. Maybe it's just me. One of my buddy Grady, I'm slow. I ain't from Willard. I'm from Winged, right across the water over there. So maybe the W, well, if you're from a place called W, maybe you're not too bright. That's just me thinking. Some point in time, we got to move away from the manger. If you stay at the manger, you're in trouble. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That places us in the Christ. That is the first step of moving away from the manger, of realizing who he really is, that he came to die for our sins. And it's great he lived in this world. It's great he came in this world. I'm glad he did. Because if not, God's plan for mankind would have never come to fruition. So we ought to be glad that he came to this world. We ought to be glad he was born into this world. He never commanded us to remember his birth, but he did command us to remember his death, burial, and resurrection, which is what we're doing today, and specifically what we're getting ready to take a part of later on. That was a commandment. Nowhere in the world was it commanded in Scripture was it commanded for us to do that, to set aside a day to celebrate him. Yes, we can do it. Yes, we ought to be thankful. But see, the problem is, we're not even doing, many of us are not doing what he commanded us to do. So how in the world is that working? He commands you to do something, you say, we don't want to do that, but we're going to do something else. I ain't got time for that lesson, but I'll cover that later on when we talk about the Lord's Supper and that commandment. So what must we do? So if you have one desire or the other, to put on Christ in baptism and request